Okay, we began speaking last time about Shira and Zimra, and pointed out that the basic difference is that Shira is the words of a song, and Zimra is the tune. There, here we have two worlds. This is very, very parallel to that which we discussed in a different context in terms of the tefillah of need, in which we had a shava and a tzaka, that the shava was an intense tefillah, but still it was able to be verbalized, as opposed to the tzaka, which was beyond words. Namely, over here, the expression which comes about via a zemer is something that a person can't normally express in words, and we have the two directions. Sometimes you begin with a tremendous hislahavus, and then work your way down into a shira, it's mizmor shir, and sometimes you have shir mizmor, where you begin with being able to verbalize, and then you reach a point where you can no longer verbalize. The example he wants to bring over here to the power of zemer is in the world of Torah Shebichsav, in which we have three levels. We have the level of the Ot, we have the level of the Nikud, and we have the level of the Ta'am. The Ot is what I guess we would call the Giloy, that which tells the story externally. The Nikud, along with the Os, that tells you how to read the Os, again, from an external perspective, while the Ta'am would deal with an aspect which would be closer to the core. That the Tameh HaMikra, the word Ta'am in Hebrew, has three different meanings. The word Ta'am means a reason. The word Ta'am means the Nigun, like in Tameh HaMikra. And the Ta'am also reflects a taste. Ta'am u'ru'u ki tov Hashem. And all these three are really one. Namely, giving a mashal hedyot, if you were to see a cake, you would have a general idea that this is going to be something which will be very, very nourishing. But what it is, you can't tell until you taste it. When you taste it, that gives you the siba and the pnimius of the cake. It tells you what's behind it all. If you are a good enough taster, you could probably even be able to recreate the recipe from the tasting. Namely, that you were able to see what went behind it. So hu hadin, in terms of the nigun and the shir will express something from an external perspective, and the nigun will more likely to hit into the internal joy which brought about the shira. Why does one require both? I mean, it's clear that mizmor shir and shir mizmor, the only question is what precedes what, but that both are required. So here, this is part of our Avodas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a famous work of Buber in which he claimed that Mamad Har Sinai, the revelation, is so powerful that there's no need for a content. Simply, if one thinks of the revelation, one thinks of Gilui Shechina, one can be an Ovid HaKadosh Baruch Hu without going into all the Pratim. We don't agree with Buber. Right? In other words, we hold that a revelation has to have a content, namely that the Hislahavus is very, very fine to create a context, but you have to fill that context with something which is meaningful. And Hu Hadin, in terms of every aspect of Jewish life, even if we take Tefillah, person will say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So on one hand, that's it. There's nothing beyond Shema. Why then do we continue? We have to Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavecha b'chol nafshecha b'chol ma'odecha. We already were mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu on arba k'tzavot and sheva rikiyim and on our nefesh and neshama and ruach. What's left b'chol levavecha b'chol nafshecha ma'odecha? But the pirut is very, very important in order for us to be able to anchor ourselves into something real, into something concrete, as opposed to just flying off in the air. I mean, who adin shmon esrei l'chora? After you say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kone hakol, that's it. Like, why go any further? Why get involved in das and parnasa and refuah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kone hakol. So clearly, in other words, he's our address for everything. But exactly that you can't be a Jew purely on the bit with the big picture, with the revelation, with the kone hakol, with the shema. that it requires also the pratim, that aside, you know, it's clearly that one wants to reach the madrega of being a zemer, but one has to get to it, or one has to get back down to the shir in order to be able to appreciate the application of the zemer. He points out over here, which is a very sore point for certain people, that someone can take the pratim and grow from the pratim. And well, you can open a Bezilus Yesharim, you can grow from Bezilus Yesharim, you can grow from learning Gemara. How many people do we find that spiritually grow from going to a Hasidic music festival? You know, as much as one enjoys the Zemer, but unless it's anchored in something, so it's here today, going tomorrow. If you spend your life listening to Daf Yomi as you're driving, or you spend your life listening to Nigunim as you're driving, in one of them you're going to end up hopefully with a bit of content. In the other, hopefully, I mean, it's better than listening to, you know, to rock and roll or whatever people listen to currently. But it's you know, it's certainly better. You know, it's at least something which is, you know. But the question is, what comes out of it? What comes out of it? Does a person, when he gets out of his car, run to learn Gemara because he listened to a nigun? In other words, that the nigun also has to have, you know, it's, even in Chassidus, the nigun would introduce the Dvar Torah. It wouldn't just be a nigun for the Baal Shem Tov's nigun introduced the Baal Shem Tov's Dvar Torah. It wasn't a nigun for the sake of a nigun. It was a nigun to put one in the mood to be able, or not mood in a simply emotional mood, the spiritual framework to be able to appreciate the Dvar Torah which comes after it. So even after the Zemer, one requires the Mizmor Shir. The Mashal Hedyot he gives over here, this will conclude, is a seed. A seed clearly contains all of the DNA which is going to make up all of the fruits which are going to come from the tree for generations upon generations. But if all you do is swallow a seed, you're going to die of hunger. Namely, that the seed would be like the shear. You know, it's all there. It's all Kone HaKol, Shema Yisrael. But unless it's broken down into components, then one can't appreciate it. It has to have some applications in order to be able to appreciate it. It has to go. If you want to, the shear is like Bekoach. The zemer is like Bekoach, and the shear would bring it into Bepoal. And so what one requires that combination of the shear and the zemer in order to be able to grow within the world of Rina. Okay, that was a pretty meaningful perek of Rina. Took us, Baruch Hashem, we began Rina after Sukkot, so now it moves us from Mashiv HaRuach Mord HaGashem into Saint Halamater, moving from the Shevach into the Shir. Okay, so Bli Neder tomorrow on Sunday we'll begin with the concept of Pigia. Ata al tispalo bad hamazev al tisa ba adam rina utfila al tifka. Yirmiyahu was told that the time before the Churban was not a time for which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be addressed with a Pigia. Exactly, what form of tefillah is this Pigia? That we'll see on Sunday.